joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us. Please be seated. Hear the words of Numbers 24, which is one of the salient Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of this king whom we worship and whom we celebrate tonight. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall rise out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. Amen. Please, we have a special music now. So let's do this then first before we go to the lighting of the Christ candle.
Mm-hmm.
So now the Arthur family will come forward and light the Christ candle.
Each Sunday during the Advent season of preparation for Christmas, we have lit one of the four candles of the Advent wreath: prophecy candle, the angel's candle, the shepherd's candle, and the wise men's candle.
Today, on Christmas Eve, we light the last of the candles, the Christ candle, in celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The Christmas season has come too quickly, as it always does. We find ourselves caught up in all the busyness of making preparations, buying presents, sending Christmas cards, and putting up decorations. Suddenly we find that Christmas is here. With regret, we realize how little time we have spent remembering the person whose birth we celebrate.
Today, as we think of that first Christmas, of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus in a crude stall, surrounded by braying animals, and shepherds huddled around a campfire to keep off the winter chill, it all seems so far away. Yet it was on that very night over 2,000 years ago that the Son of God was born.
Can it really be true that the Creator of the universe became a newborn baby for us in order to accomplish our salvation? For if it is true, then nothing in all the holiday preparations, nothing in all the world can compare with this greatest of all events, that on this very night the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was our Emmanuel, God with us.
And he is still ours today if we accept him into our hearts in simple faith and trust.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill.
Simeon, will you light the Christ candle?
Please stand with me one more time. Let us sing 207, Good Christian Men Rejoice, 207.
Please be seated.
Here is another prophecy with regards to the coming of Jesus Christ, Isaiah 2:2. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Please turn to hymn number 217, and of this one we will sing the uneven stanzas 1, 3, and 5. And 7 as well. Thank you, yes.
This night rejoices as I hear far and near sweetest angel voices.
Please be seated. Before we turn to Matthew chapter 2, let me ask for God's blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you now asking you to speak through the words that we have heard so many times before, which for the likes of us can often be a hindrance. But make these words to sound fresh and new, and ring true, most of all, ring true in our hearts, that we would warm to our Savior, Jesus Christ, and commit ourselves to Him. Father, if there is anyone here tonight who has not met Jesus as his or her Savior, then I ask you to send the Holy Spirit into that person and to pour your love into that heart, that tonight may be the day of salvation. Thank you again for your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray these things. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'Are you of O Bethlehem in the land of Judah? Are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." They listened to the king, and they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. The existential nihilist Arthur Schopenhauer once wrote, "All truth passes through three stages. First, it's ridiculed. Second, violently opposed. Third, it's accepted as self-evident. Now, you may not be willing to subsume all truth under this maxim, but at least many of the articles of truth now accepted were once deemed eccentric. You may also want to question Schopenhauer's three successive stages, leading from ridicule to violence to acceptance, as being all too neat to account for the complexity of a situation that involves human beings vis-a-vis truth claims. And finally, Schopenhauer's biting sarcasm, to many a great delight, seems to suggest that our acceptance of truth always and inevitably leads to a certain uncritical complacency that is beyond the reach of healthy challenges and investigation. Well, if that were true, then we might as well give up on the quest for truth and settle for being stupid. For there isn't much between the two, the stink of complacency and the foul smell of intentional ignorance. But this isn't the whole truth. All aside, however, Schopenhauer has a point. Truth always forces a reaction. You either receive it or you reject it. You either receive God's testimony about his Son or you reject it. Whatever form that rejection may take, it may be ridicule and it may be violence. And in the history of the preaching and the teaching and the sharing of the gospel has met with both of them. On the other hand, God's truth is also received by faith by many. And when so, eventually it will lead to worship. Invariably, worship. All those who are called end up worshiping Jesus Christ. Now, friends, this story speaks of these realities. It speaks of this very thing. Matthew draws clearly the line.